are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
And click that a time or two as we continue with our study on the Lord's Supper. We come this evening to a part that I've entitled A Cure for Your Sickness. Looking at, if you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Is scripture that we use when talking about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And turn over to 27, and we'll be turning there in a moment. Some disagree. Some want to argue that some people are sick because they have done things wrong, that sin has come into their life. And not saying that everyone who is sick is in that position, but there are some, Scripture tells us, that are sick because they have approached the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. That's why I felt it important for us to spend these 4 weeks preparing ourselves and looking forward to the Lord's Supper, but we must understand what it is that we're coming to, and that it is a solemn assembly of the believers of the body of Jesus Christ as born-again believers, a right that we have to come before the throne and to come before the Lord's table and take part in the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, and it says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world." Words straight from Scripture, that if we come in an unworthy manner, that you could possibly become weak, sick, or let me put it in English term, dead. There were some in Jesus' day that approached the throne, approached the Lord's table in a wrong manner, and they died because of it. I stand here today to tell you it is a serious matter. It's not something to take lightly, and it's not something necessarily easy to get up and stand and preach upon. But I come before you today based upon and with the authority of the Word, and it says it, not me, that it is true and that it can happen. I do want to reiterate, not everyone around us who is sick has come before the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. We're not saying that in any way or any form. But I do want you to understand that as we come, that we do need to come before the Lord rightly. And it talks there in that verse that we need to examine ourselves, verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." What do we need to examine? The first thing that we need to examine is, am I in the faith? Am I in the faith? before you are allowed to partake of the Lord's Supper, you must make for sure that you are a born-again, baptized believer of Jesus Christ. In a Baptist church, we do not have necessarily what's called closed communion. You don't have to just be a member of Mount Olivet Baptist Church to come to the Lord's table, but we do have the requirement that you are a born-again believer and a baptized believer, because that is a command of Jesus Christ, and we need to be worthy before we come before Him. But am I in the faith? I want to take you all through some scriptures. You might say, preacher, that's elementary what we're fixing to look at. Yes, it is. But we need to make for sure. I want to take you through some scriptures that you're very familiar with. They will be on the screen as we cover these. But how do we examine our faith and determine, are we in the faith? First of all, we know that in Romans 3:23 it says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. And because of that sin, we fall short of God's glory and we were removed from Him. Why is that? Because Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wages of sin. Our sin caused our death, our separation from Him. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." No one comes to the Father but through me. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. If you have never come to the point in your life that you have confessed with your mouth not just that Jesus Christ died, not just that Jesus Christ was perfect, not just that Jesus Christ rose, but you have confessed your sin and acknowledge Him as Lord of your life, you are not in the faith. It takes all of those steps, claiming who He is and allowing Him to be Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf." In Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and he will dine with him and he with me." Christ stands at the door of every heart who has not accepted Him and calls them and knocks. I pray today that if you are sitting here and Christ is knocking on your heart, that you don't wait till the end of the service. You invite Him in now and then come and we'll talk about that. I've been in church all my life. Good. My car sits over there. I go in my house. That doesn't make me a house. Being in my garage doesn't make me a car. It's very important. So much so that especially as those of us who were raised in the church know without a shadow of a doubt that I don't just have the Sunday school answer, but I have a true relationship. I haven't just walked the aisle at a camp because the music was hip and they played and I came down, great times, many get saved. But you must know for sure. The question that always arises from that is, how do we know for sure? How do I know for sure that I am born again? And the Bible answers that very clearly. I want you to listen. Romans 8, verse 16 says it this way: "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit, if you ask Him, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you. He will let you know for sure that you are a born-again believer. If you go to Him and you ask and you don't have a confidence in that, you don't know for sure, then today's the day that we need to sit down and find out for sure. It may be that the Holy Spirit is telling you that you're not. He will let you know. If there is any doubt whatsoever through this preparation time, this time of examining yourself, you must do it now. We also know for sure from John, 1 John chapter 2, and it says, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in Him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. From the time that you accepted Christ, if you are not walking in His commandments, you are not a born-again believer. Does that mean I've sinned, I'm not a born-again believer? No. But we know His commandments. If we're striving to be like Him, if we're striving to walk like He is, there is a conscience in us that when we sin, that we have sinned and we go to Him for forgiveness, then there is a sign of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But if you have no desire whatsoever to keep His commandments, then the Bible says, regardless of what you say, you're a liar. So I hope that through evaluating yourself through this, you begin to find out as you're going through your book, you will be seeing some of these things come up this next week, and there's going to be some questions to ask yourself. It's very important that you take these times seriously and evaluate, because I want none of us to approach the throne and become weak, approach the Lord's Supper table and become weak, sick, or to die from it. It is very important. First of all, examine in yourself, am I in the faith? Second of all, if you can answer yes without a shadow of a doubt, then we move to the second part. Am I clean from sin? There are two types of sin that I want to put before you today, and that is a type of sin of submission and a type of sin of omission. Submission is a willful act. You're submitting unto that sin. And you need to see in your life if you are clean of any sins that you are committing, that you know of, and that you're moving forward with. What might some of those be? Are you living with someone that you're not married to? I don't believe we have any in here doing that. Allowing someone to sin. What do I mean by that? How is that a sin of my part? If I am enabling someone, and by my enabling it is allowing them to sin, then I am sinning as well. Do you have a sin of pride in your life? One of drinking and drugs, gambling, homosexuality, pornography, and the list can go on and on. And own anything contrary to God's word that you are physically doing becomes a sin of submission as you fall under that. It is serious that you make sure that you speak to the Father and you ask through Holy Spirit for Him to come and to speak to you. And if you have these sins, to confess them, to confess, to agree. God says they're wrong. I acknowledge He says they're wrong. They're wrong in my life. I admit that. And I repent. I turn from those sins. There's also the sin of omission. And this is one sometimes that can maybe come upon us without us knowing, because it's doing, not doing something. You know, we always think a sin is something that I've done, but you can sin by not doing something as well. Maybe you have the sin of omission by the lack of a priority for Jesus in meeting together. If you don't have a priority in your life for Jesus Christ, and you don't have a priority for meeting together with other believers, you might be doing everything else right, but you have the sin of omission. Maybe you're being selfish with your time, your talents, or your money. It's not something you're doing, it's something you're not doing. Can just as much affect you. Maybe you have the sin of unforgiveness. I won't forgive. I refuse to forgive. Or maybe you have the sin of omission through the lack of keeping unity. As a born-again believer in the body of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to keep unity within God's body. As members of this church, we have a responsibility to each other to keep unity. Do we have a sin of omission? John 16:7 says this, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." That's the Holy Spirit's role in your life. You ask him, how do I know if any of these things are in my life? How do I know omission? Maybe I don't realize it. Ask the Holy Spirit. He has a responsibility, and he will convict you of that if you are a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, if we know for a fact that we are in the faith and that we are clean from our sin, then we must go into the time of consecrating, preparing ourselves. If you have your Bibles and you will open them with me, it'll be on the screens as well, but there's something about holding God's Word. Genesis chapter 35. Let me read to you beginning in verse 1. As we look at consecrating, Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had and the rings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was near Shechem. As they journeyed, there was a great terror upon the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because their God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak. It was named Allon-Bacuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he had came from Padan-Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." Thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. And the land which I have gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you, and I will give the land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, and a pillar of stone, and he poured out on it a libation on it, and he poured out oil on it. So Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. You must consecrate yourself. Before I go any further into this, when you're studying this week on day 13, it's going to take you through a time of consecrating your home. It may take several days to go through that part. I encourage you strongly, do not overlook it. It is very important. But what is this consecration? What are we looking at in Genesis 35 here? When Jacob was fleeing Esau, he went to this place where God sent him back to, and God met with him there. And now he's ready to go back to his brother, and God is once again calling him back to Bethel, calling him back to where he first met with him. We can begin to look at ourselves as we consecrate and take ourselves back to when we first met God, because that is when our life changed and opened many doors for us. We see through here the recommitment as he arrives to go to Bethel and to live there and to make that altar. And he told not just himself, but his family who was with him, that they needed to purify themselves. Put away any foreign gods which are among you. Any idols. Do we have idols in our lives today? Some do. We might call it fishing, sports, work, TV, iPhone, iPad, school, sports. Many things become an idol. What is an idol? Anything that takes priority over God. Anything that keeps you from spending the time you need to with God. All of those things I mentioned are great and wonderful things, and there is nothing whatsoever wrong with them until we put them in the wrong place and priority in our life. That's where it changes. Coming to church, as good as it is, put in the wrong place, can become an idol. I must be there. I've done my duty. I can't spend time alone with God because I have to be there every time the doors open. Yes, we need to assemble together, but we cannot let just the assembly be what the reason is that we're here. It is to worship Him. We must consecrate ourselves. We must be searching for what is in our life and removing those things and now preparing ourselves, as he said there, that to purify yourself and to change your garments. And he told them to get up and to go, and they went and made an altar. Because they followed God's command, there in verse 5, you see that the terror of the cities that were around them were so great that they wouldn't even pursue after them. But what happened in Jacob's life when he obeyed? What happened when Jacob knew, we can kind of go through our list, he was called by God. God had met with him. He was sure of that. He has purified himself. He is now beginning to consecrate those with him. He returned where God told him to, back to the altar. And God said that your name is Jacob, and you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. A pivotal life-changing point in his life. God then goes on to bless him, multiply him, and from him we have the descendants that we have flow through him, nations, Isaac and Abraham, names, all in the same line together. And when God had finished speaking to him, he departed, and there he made a pillar, a monument to remember what had happened. So a cure for your sickness, possibly you need to evaluate. Have I come before the Lord's table in an unworthy manner? Have I come before I was a born-again believer? Then you need to repent of that. knowing that you're in the faith, you need to evaluate, are you pure? You see, in a few weeks when we come in here, we need to be pure. All of us have things that come in our life, sins that come on. Some of those takes time to deal with. Some of those are very hurtful. But we must take this time in preparing so that when we come on April the 1st, that evening, that when we walk in those doors, we're pure. We're clean before God, and we're ready to experience His Lord's Supper. Why is this so serious? Why is the Lord's table so serious? We looked last week at the cup, but we must understand those two elements, the bread and the wine. This represents what Christ did. He was the only one who was perfect. When we look at Old Testament law, it sets up what the requirements are for the sacrifice of sin. It had to be that perfect, unblemished lamb. The only one who ever walked on this earth as perfect and unblemished that could be our lamb was Jesus Christ. And if we come in an unworthy manner, in an attitude that is not correct, then we're coming and making a mockery of what sits before us. And I don't want no part of the mockery or the consequences. And just as much as I want no part of it or the consequences, I don't want you to have consequences from it. Please take this week very serious in your study as you are looking at yourself. Those are your books, not mine, as you know, normally. We don't take those up. Sometimes it tells you to mark on it. Sometimes it tells you to mark on a separate piece of paper. Do whatever you need to do as you work this week, because this is the week talking about examining yourselves. You may find some very eye-opening things in there. I hope Holy Spirit will walk you through step by step. I pray that each day as you take that time to open that up, that you will say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, because He will. If you're serious with that and you ask Him, He will speak to you. And take your days to work through, because it will make all the difference in preparing. Day 13, you might say, is a little silly, or I don't know about that. Just read through it. Follow through. It's going to have you walk through your house, because you're looking at you, your family, your environment. All of that consists of who we are. Reading through that and studying that this week, because I'm going just a week ahead of you, I can tell you now there's things in my home that I've got to take care of, and you will too. And as we do this and we begin to prepare ourselves and make ourselves worthy, you see, God called us, He paid a price, and we must be worthy. And I want us to have an experience as never before. As everyone comes unified together and we're ready, it's not me stepping up on Sunday morning saying we're going to have Lord's Supper, make sure you're right with your neighbor. There's not time to do it. But we're spending 4 weeks getting there. And I believe by that, the magnitude of what we're going to experience in here, you will walk away from, and you will be telling people for years to come. May you bow your heads.